I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome to the show. It's Monday Night Shaw, and this week's episode, I have the Boston Bruiser, Kevin O'Doyle. O'Doyle rules. How's it going, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty decent, man. So you actually just recently were able to come over to Alberta and wrestle. That was just like a couple weeks ago. How did you enjoy your trip out here?
I enjoyed both my trips out there. AJ, Chevy, and I actually did two trips, two weekends in a row, and it was really nice.
Oh, right. You guys had the, were you part of the CWE tour that was going on in Alberta as well?
I was part of the CWE tour, and it turned into a very interesting CWE tour.
Oh, really? How so?
I had some vehicle issues.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and ended up having to replace my truck, but it happens.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But it all went well. Your matches turned out good. You were happy with what happened and whatnot?
Considering how the stress level I was going through at the time, I think the matches came out really well.
Yeah, would your opponents say the same, or would they be like, oh no, he's totally out there taking his stress out on us?
No, I think they would say the same. I don't take my frustrations out on my opponents when I'm in the ring. I take my frustrations out in how we go through the match. So,
oh, fair enough.
Because I don't think it would be fair for me to all like I'm angry, so you're gonna
no 100%. I was totally joking. Like,
well,
yeah.
Well,
like,
I know there's some people that do tend to vent their frustrations in the ring, but
yeah. It's not a super professional thing to do. Anyway, how long have you been wrestling for?
For about 4 years.
Oh, right on. And did you get your start out in Winnipeg there?
I did. I started because I was working with Bobby Collins. And what ended up happening was I ended up going to some of his shows, and I ended up helping him with setting up and tearing down the ring.
Okay.
And then one day he said, you know, come to the ring, I'll show you some things. And I was pretty good at it. And so then I signed up for the training that was being done with Caveman's World Amplified.
All right.
Where AJ Sanchez was the head trainer and was trained by AJ. And so we were sort of off from there.
Oh, solid. So you've become sort of like tag team partners now with AJ, right? Like, you guys are pretty much like one of the main teams out there in Manitoba.
Yes, we are.
So how did that team formulate? Was it just like he was really impressed with how your training was going and decided to make you his partner? Or?
I think so. I mean, him and I look very similar. We have a very similar look. I put in a lot of work in the training, and we were just sort of going from there and became a tag team.
Right on, right on. So you're also, like, you are hailed as the Boston Bruiser. Did you actually, like, live in Boston? What's your background with Boston?
It came about from when I sort of picked my name.
Okay.
Because we went with Kevin O'Doyle, and Boston has a very strong Irish background to it. There's a strong Irish community in Boston, so that's why I chose Boston, and Bruiser just sort of went along with it.
Alrighty. So have you ever like actually been to Boston?
I have not been to Boston. I was planning on going to Boston this year actually, but thanks to COVID,
got put on the kibosh. What is wrestling's back in Manitoba though right now, right? So how long has it been back over there?
Well, during the pandemic, during the lockdown, CW did some isolated shows.
Like closed door in the training center type things?
Closed door in the training center where they streamed it and asked for donations for people who were watching it. I did one of those shows for the anniversary tag tournament. And we started going back as soon in, I think it was June. Yeah, it was June. At Rookies, so.
Oh, okay. So, and do they have, like, limitations on the number of fans and stuff? Like, I'm pretty sure the rules are different in all the different provinces.
Well, the thing is it's every province has their every. It's not just every province, but every region has their own guidelines as to what you can do. So for what we're doing now is there's limited capacity that can be in at rookies. Someone has to go periodically and wipe down the turnbuckles. You can only have X amount of wrestlers in the building at the same time. So we're changing out outside in the parking lot with the trailer. Oh. So.
Wow. It must be more lax over here because like we still are allowed to change in the locker rooms and stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, it kind of depends on what region you're in. So, like for example, Winnipeg has its set guidelines. There was actually supposed to be a show tonight in Oak Lake, but Oak Lake canceled because the region authority there said no due to the COVID numbers, where there's going to be no events. So,
oh, that's a bummer.
It is a bummer. It's been quite a bummer for me this year because I started off the year hot by doing like the most shows I've started off the year with. So like I think in January I did a show for RCW, PCW, and CWE, and all those told came to like 5 shows, and then did like 5 the next month, and we're supposed to do 4 the next, and then we were supposed to have the tour, but
yeah,
after March 1st everything got locked down. And
yeah, I mean, I've definitely, like, there's never been this much wrestling going on in Alberta for a very long time, because, like, we're doing shows every Friday in Calgary and every Saturday in Edmonton, so, like, there's 4 weeks in a month, that's 8 shows a month. That's pretty, it's pretty great to, you know, be able to do it that much.
If there was ever a reason I wish to live in Alberta, it's right now. Because just hearing that you guys got 2 shows weekly would be just fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And I mean, the fact that we're still consistently getting, you know, decent enough numbers to financially continue to pull it off is really good. Like, I mean, can you imagine if there was no COVID, where like people were not scared to come out to events and stuff? Like, these are the only people that are coming are the diehard like wrestling fans that are not afraid, right? Like, can you imagine all the ones that
not afraid?
Yeah,
but I think they're also just tired of what's being confined to their house.
That's fair too. I mean, I can sympathize with that mentality for sure.
I mean, because the thing is we're so used to having our own lives that, you know, all of a sudden now you can't go see your friends. You can't go to the movies. You can't go here. You can't go there.
Yeah, you can't go watch wrestling. Well, actually, you can.
Yeah, well, now you can.
Yeah. So I that's a fair point. Like, as soon as, like, I know that when it did open up and we were able to do it again, I was really stoked. Because, you know, it's the whole year has been just an absolute bummer. Like,
well, see, the thing is for me, it was more along the lines of, well, now I haven't seen my friends in ages, because I see a lot of people from Alberta, like on a regular basis. So, like Alex Wicker, Sean Martins, Jude Dawkins, and the list goes on from there. The ones who come in for CWE, plus my friends out in Regina and what have you.
Yeah.
Well, for months, I mean, I talked to some of them on Messenger and that, but it's not the same as when you actually see them.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus, not only that, I mean, you work really hard to reach a certain point as a performer, as a wrestler, and the only way you get better is continuously staying at it.
Yeah, 100%.
And then you have 4 months where you can't go to the gym, you can't go work out,
yeah,
you can't
go to the training center,
can't go to the training center. And I mean, there's stuff you can do at home, but you're only limited to what you can do for in some instances. So
yeah, and then
because I mean, you can go on being on the treadmill for 30 minutes is great, but that's not compared to actually hitting the ropes.
Yeah, I know. Like, we do rope running and stuff at the Top Talent Academy. You were there that one day, and like, you know, you run back and forth for 30 seconds hitting the ropes. Like, that's a workout, right? Like, it's intense because you got to be quick about it.
Well, not only that, but it's not just you hitting the ropes; it's you hitting the ropes with a purpose.
Yeah,
because while you're in there, you're assuming that you're gonna train like you would for an actual match.
Yeah, you want to. Unless you're just straight up like learning the motions and you need to like go through.
Oh yeah,
that's fine. Yeah. But once you have the motions down and you're practicing them, like practice like you're in a match, right?
Yep.
That makes total sense for sure.
One of the things an old football coach of mine used to say was, train to the way you want to perform. So what that meant was, is that like when we were at, when we were doing bag drills, like when I played football.
Yeah.
If you just sauntered up to the line, like an old man with two broken hips.
Yeah.
And were very slow getting off the ball, that's the way you're going to play.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing like that with wrestling. If you don't put in the effort that you would for if there was an audience, well, then that's how you're gonna be.
Yeah, you have to, like, if you want your stuff to look good, you'd have to be kind of intense about it, right? And so, like, I mean, I've been guilty of, you know, not hitting people as hard as I should sometimes and that sort of stuff. But it's like, you only learn from doing it, you know?
Well, we're all training, guilty of that.
Yeah, like...
I mean... But the thing is we learn from that, and then every so often, okay, we have a little bit of a bad, moment, but then we change that and keep going. So
yeah, 100%. Like I love to just like watch my matches back and just be like, okay, I need to fix that. I need to fix that. I need to fix that. You know.
Well, one of the things I did when I first started, like when I had my first battle royal, it was shortly after I'd started training. Is I keep a wrestling journal.
Okay.
And what it does, it has the list of everywhere I've been. It's listed out as the number, like what match it is, like in terms of
like if it's the second match on the card or whatever.
No, in terms of what my matches for my career.
Oh, okay. So it's like yeah, you're.
So
I think I do. I have a similar thing on my phone that every time I have a match, I just jot down like the date, the place, and like who I wrestled.
I have the date, the place, who I wrestled, whether or not it was a win or a loss, and the positive and negatives from the match.
Oh, see, that's a good idea.
See, I don't just put the negatives, because if you only have the negatives on there, I mean, well, it depends on what the match is, because sometimes there's nothing positive to say about some matches.
Yeah.
Because I've had some that have been like, oof.
There's like... That's an interesting point because like sometimes like Hulk Hogan was a great showman and you got right into his matches, but they like, you know, he's no Chris Benoit, you know?
Correct. And it also see what I also put on there is like sometimes where it was in the card.
Yeah.
So if, for example, it's the opener, cause I have a couple in there where I didn't keep the pace up enough.
Okay.
So, but that's how I keep myself accountable for it.
And then
there's also nice. It's also great for, you know, when if your days are feeling a little bit low, you can just pull your journal open and go, oh yeah, I wrestled this person. Oh, I'm over 200 matches now. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Like I even found out that I'm listed on the Cage Match website. And somebody has all the statistics from like most of my matches. They don't have them all, but they have most of them. And it's like, you know, it's just the results or whatnot, but it's still cool to be like, oh, I'm like somebody else out there in the universe is keeping track of all this as well.
Well, it's great because you can look at it. You can really track your progress. For example, like I'll look at a match that I had with say, oh, I don't know, Tyler Colton.
Okay.
I had my first match, like singles match with him in, I think it was like November of 2017. I don't have my book in front of me, but in there I have the details of how my match went and how it should have improved and recommendations. Like, you know, that was when I got told, you know, you should try and do more of Danny's tours. Well, I pull the match I go a couple months later, I have another match with him. Everything that I did wrong in my first match with him, I did right.
Oh, that's good.
So it's also, you know, sort of a growing tool.
Yeah, like you would hope like that most of the time, like at least every time I go and I've wrestled the person before, I hope that the next match is going to be better than the last one, you know, for sure.
Yes. That sort of comes down to you as the individual, though. I mean, you have to be the one to want to better yourself. I mean, because wrestling isn't just a hobby for me.
Fair enough.
I mean, there are easier ways to have a weekend hobby.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, especially ones where you're not deliberately falling on the ground or getting hit with a weapon or what have you. So if you want to become better and you want to have more people want to buy your merch and see you, you have to invest in yourself. And it comes with, I mean, this is just my thoughts on it. You have to invest in yourself by acknowledging, yes, I have flaws, but this is how I can fix them.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with that. Like, so, if you just go out there and think you're the Mac Daddy and you're incredible and, you know, you can do no wrong, and meanwhile everyone else is thinking you stink out the joint, like, you have to be open to criticism, because it's the only way you're going to get better is to learn what you need to improve in.
Yes.
You've been able to travel quite a few territories and whatnot. And what are some of the cooler places that you've been able to wrestle in?
Ooh, one of my favorite venues is actually in Dauphin.
Okay.
Because
is that in Manitoba?
It's in Manitoba. It's this gorgeous building. We wrestle on the second floor, and it's like this old time theater. Because there's this balcony and it looks really, it's got this this ambiance to it. It's really nice. It's just a fantastic crowd. The only problem is get the ring up. You got to take it up a flight of stairs, two flights of stairs, and it's just ugh.
Oh, that sounds like staircase challenging. And especially like, do you guys use a smaller ring or anything, or is it
no?
It's a standard size. Same like
ring.
Oh wow.
Same ring.
That's crazy, but it must look cool, though, like kind of like the Hammerstein Ballroom or something.
It does have that Hammerstein Ballroom kind of feel to it. I like venues like that have that sort of that look to it. Like, this is more than just that. Like, community centers are great, but some of these events, the venue like that just has that, like, we're here to do a show sort of look to it.
And what would be like the furthest away that you've traveled to go wrestle?
Ooh, the furthest west has been Kamloops.
Oh, okay.
On the CW tour. And the furthest east has been Toronto, also on the CW tour.
Oh, wow. I didn't know they went to Toronto. That's cool.
They actually went as far as Ottawa on the Juices on the Loose tour. And this past tour what was supposed to be this past tour, they were going to be going as far as Quebec. So,
and what are like some of the most rewarding elements and some of the most challenging elements of doing the entire tour?
Well, the rewarding part of it is your own personal accomplishment, knowing that, hey, I've been on the road for, like, for me, I did the most I've done is 30 days out of the 36, because I had to stop and go back to work for a couple of days.
Oh, that's...
But, it's rewarding because you get to establish yourself in other towns, and you also get to work people that you don't normally get to work with. So the most challenging thing, though, is just when vehicles break down, when there's breakdowns in communication, when, you know, the weather doesn't cooperate with us. So just the on the road stuff.
Yeah. Just like sort of like the ins and outs of it, like the details. It's not usually the show. It's the thing surrounding the show.
So we left Medicine Hat, and it was fine and dandy. And then halfway there, we go encounter a blizzard.
Oh, no.
So that put us late, and then we were already running a little bit late because we had to go and pick up the guys from Japan and what have you. And so the next thing you know, it's we're just getting to the venue and with enough time to set the ring up, so...
Oh yeah, I did a CWE tour. Well, I didn't do the whole tour, but I was like they did like a stretch and it was through like St. Albert, Grand Prairie, and Red Deer. And so I took these Japanese fellas and Roy Gordon and Justin Locke up to Grand Prairie. And then that night it was like me and Roy and Justin got sent to stay at one of the other wrestlers' houses who lived in Grand Prairie, and the Japanese fellas went off to the hotel. And in the morning, me and Roy and Justin, we all assumed that they were riding to Red Deer with somebody else. So we left at like 8 o'clock in the morning, and like 10 o'clock in the morning, I got a call and it was like, "Hey, when are you going to go get those Japanese guys?" And I was like, "Oh no, we're like 2 hours out of town." Yeah, it was a real fumble, but ended up we pulled off to the side, and then I guess they were able to squeeze everybody into one car. And got they just met up with us at a restaurant and whatnot, and then it ended up being me and three Japanese fellows on the way to Red Deer, which was interesting because none of them were super like fluent in English, so it was
Wrecker was all right, but
yeah, they weren't horrible,
no.
but it was kind of awkward and weird, but at the same time very cool. Like we were listening to music and stuff, and the Beatles would come on, and the one guy would pop every time the Beatles came on. It was pretty cool. But we showed up to that show because I also got a speeding ticket earlier in that day. So for the rest of the time, I was pretty much doing speed limit, and we showed up like 5 minutes till the show started. I felt horrible about it, but like, yeah, it was what it was, and it was an awesome adventure. And I got to tell the story because we were actually recording a podcast in the car driving when I got pulled over. So it was like you could hear it on the podcast, and like it comes back on, and I'm like, "Oh, I just got pulled over," and blah 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 blah. And yeah, but it was a fun trip for sure. And I always enjoy the CWE stuff because they do have like. They have that Manitoba crew, but they also use a lot of the local fellas, and then they usually have one or two like name guys on the show as well.
Yes.
How many tours have you done with Danny?
I think I've done six.
Wow, that's a hefty number. That's good
Because you
on
see,
you.
I did a couple of just the Winnipeg ones when I first started.
Okay.
And then sorry, that's my dog with the her chew toy.
Oh, okay. I just thought you were very flatulent today. I'm
And
kidding.
so I did a couple like the local ones. And then when after I had him, I decided I wanted to start doing more. I did a couple for the Jake the Snake tour.
Alrighty.
And then four for the Jake the Snake. And then I think I did like six for Ron Simmons. And then for the Brutus one, I went up to like 12, and then it kept going and going and going. And
So every particular tour, you happen to get m booked on more and more dates.
yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, it just means that they're recognizing that you're valuable to their show, right?
Somehow, someday, I will do the full set, but we'll see how that goes.
Have you done any of the Tony Condello tours to the way up north?
I have not.
No? Is that something you'd be interested in doing?
Potentially. I mean, I'm not going to say no to working a show. I'm not going to say no to working anywhere. It has to sort of fit in with when I can have time off.
And so you were talking earlier about how you got your name, Kevin O'Doyle and stuff. Did you get the O'Doyle rules thing from the Billy Madison Adam Sandler film?
Well, originally I was trying to come up with something Scottish. But every name I came up with didn't sound like a wrestler. It sounded like either an accountant or like a stockbroker, nothing that had that sound of like, hey, this is a wrestler.
Fair enough. I mean,
But
I
at the
wrestle as the
time,
Canadian Goose, so
But at the time, there was a huge Irish phase going on in sports.
Okay.
Because you had Conor McGregor with UFC, and you also had Finn Balor with WWE. So I decided, okay, well, you know what? We'll come up with something Irish. And we were coming with O, and then just came to O'Doyle. And then we, you know, came up with it because of Billy Madison, and then just Kevin from there, and away we went.
That's awesome. Did you, were you aware of Davey O'Doyle in Saskatchewan?
I was not aware of Davey O'Doyle in Saskatchewan, and both of us sort of came up with our names around the same time, so.
Oh, okay. So there's no, like, you guys aren't, like, supposedly brothers or anything like that?
Cousins.
Oh, okay. Like, does, like, in the sense of Arn Anderson is Ole Anderson's, like, cousin?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Is you do, like, strike me as kind of like an Arn Anderson type guy. Like, is that how you would describe your style in the ring?
I don't really have a set style. I mean, I sort of take a little bit from everyone. I try to have a little bit of a sort of the Bam Bam Bigelow Vader-ish I'd like to be a little bit more of. I'm up to a point. I mean, I kind of just sort of go in with the idea of just, I'm just this big bully. So.
Yeah. And then, it does that dynamic change at all when you're in the ring there with, AJ? Cause he's also like a pretty big fella.
It not really. I mean, we sort of complement each other. He has his way of getting himself over. I have mine, and we sort of make it mesh.
Fair enough. Have you had any other tag team partners that you were with for a stretch before you were with AJ?
What in PCW? I have JL Spiker.
Okay, and
we actually won the PCW tag titles at the end of December of last year.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you.
Is he a big fella as well?
No, he's not.
No? Okay, so how do you like working tag matches with a smaller partner as opposed to a guy that's, if not bigger than you, at the same size?
I'm cool with whoever I work with. It does create new opportunities, new challenges. So I'm cool with either way. I mean, I have a certain way I go when I'm with AJ, and I have a certain way I go when I'm with Spiker, and so.
Have you had the opportunity in your career yet to wrestle any name wrestlers, like people that have had time in WWE or TNA or WCW or what have you?
Yes.
Yeah.
The first name I ever wrestled was the Warlord.
Oh, okay.
I've wrestled him a couple of times. AJ and I have faced the Kingdom, or what was the Kingdom of TK O'Reilly and the Horror King Vincent.
Oh,
Killer Cross.
Oh, he's in NXT right now, right?
Yep, and also Psychosis and Hoovy.
Nice. And what did you like? What sort of things did you learn from wrestling with those guys as opposed to the other local fellas?
It depends on who it was. So, for example, when I was wrestling Hoovy, I had to change my pace a little bit because him and Psychosis are, you know, they're more agile. Same thing with when I'm going against, you know, TK. So basically what it does, it showed me how I can't have one set way of doing things. You have to be flexible to work with other people that are of different size, different speed, different experience. So
when you got your first opportunity to do that, were you like really nervous about it?
I was.
Yeah. Like when you wrestled like the Warlord, was there like a certain way that you approached the match, or like speaking to him about the match or anything?
It was a 6-man tag. It was myself, AJ and Stardom against Danny, Tyler and the Warlord. And I went into it. I kept my mouth shut. I kept my ears open and said, okay, I can do this. Yes, we can do this.
Solid. Which one of those guys would you have put up there as like your favorite one to have been able to wrestle?
See, that's tough because I've liked different people for different reasons. I really enjoyed working with TK and Vincent. One of my best matches I've ever had was with them in Thunder Bay in a triple threat tag match. It was AJ and I against Mentolo and Roy Gordon and the Kingdom. And it was the main event, and we just blew the roof off the house.
Oh, right on.
So, but no, I like working different people for different reasons. I mean, there's like when you have a match with Hoovy, it's going to be a little bit more faster pace. You're going to have that lucha style compared to, say, someone like
Well, the Warlord, obviously.
the
Like,
Warlord,
yeah.
or even like the moments I had with Ron Simmons, where I got punched out by Farouk.
Oh, right on.
So,
Did you get any good advice from Farouk?
yes, that Ron Simmons is actually a really solid guy. On his tour, he actually would sit behind the curtain and watch all your matches.
Oh,
And
wow.
then he would, and then he would make notes. And then he would come up and go, "Hey, man, you remind me of this person. Try and do it this way. Try and have this perspective." And it went really well. And so that was really good. Also, for the Jake the Snake tour, my first match on that tour was against a guy named Kevin Lee Davidson, or KLD from St. Louis. I got feedback from Jake on that match, so
Oh, okay. What did he have to say?
it was just on what I need to work on.
Right on. So he just
So,
was
like, what
giving you
he said
some.
was, is don't have too much if you can't do too much.
That's fair.
So if you are really good at, say, like your strikes, like, so let's say you, but your last strike is always the worst. Well, then end it before you get to your worst one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because what he said was, is make more with less. So if you can only do five things, make those five things the best that they can see.
Yeah, you'd rather it's quality over quantity, right? Like make your hits count and whatnot, you know?
Yes.
That's great advice, as far as I'm concerned. It sounds good advice to me anyway. Not
See,
that
that's why I encourage people that when that if you are serious about being in this industry, try and do more than one show per month.
Oh yeah,
And
my
even if you can't be on the show, be at the show. Because I've had because the because every so often, something will happen where, someone who's supposed to be coming from the States can't get through the border, or a vehicle breaks down, and now they're short a guy. If you're there and you've been helping out, they'll know, "Hey, I grab your stuff. You're the match tonight."
Yeah, no.
So.
I've definitely like that's happened to me where I've just sort of gone along with Squig, and then he ended up getting me a match on a show and stuff. I think that was how I got my first ever match up in Bonnyville. Was I was just going to help out at the show, and some Squig was like, "Oh, hey, I got you a singlet and stuff. You're having a match tonight." And I'm, oh, okay. So,
Yep.
yeah, it was pretty awesome. What was your first match? Was it that Battle Royal you were talking about?
The first match was a battle royal. It was about a month after I had started. So it was very, punch, kick, what have you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Then I did one for the Rumble to Remember. Then I had another battle royal. And then, but my first actual match was at Rookies with AJ and I against Danny.
In a like a 2-on-1?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And
So what
how did it
happened
go?
was AJ and Danny were having a feud, and it was just after the Nikita Koloff tour, and it was he challenged him to a match, and it could be any match AJ wanted. And as Danny came through the curtain, ran through and ambushed him, and we turned it into a 2-on-1 handicap match. That's how I made my debut with CWE.
That's pretty awesome. Like you were like kind of like AJ Sanchez Diesel or something, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And then when was the first time you actually had, like, your first one-on-one match?
My first one-on-one match was a month later with CWA at Métis Day against Rob Stardom.
Okay. And were you, like, what were you most nervous about doing, the battle royals or the more, like, one-on-one matches where you were going to have to be, like, more focal part of the match?
Both. Because, well, with the one-on-one one, it was difficult because that was my first time having a singles match. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I'd had a tag match in between, I think. But it was interesting because now, see, I wasn't used to being like the center of attention, which is weird when you get into it. But it was difficult because I'm still new, but I'm working with a guy who's been 25 years or something in. So it was interesting.
Yeah. So like you were sort of meant to compliment him.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I mean, it was a good match. I mean, it's difficult when you're in your first 100 matches.
Yeah.
Are usually the most difficult because you're still learning where you are, you're where your place is in the card and what you're meant to be.
And so. Just like timing it, like getting used to the fact that time like speeds up. While I'm in the ring, at least that's
yes.
Like, for me, it's like, oh, I think I'm going slowly sometimes, but I'm not at all. And I am going way too fast, you know?
Well, see, for me, it was remembering everything. Because I started off as a heel. So I got to remember everything. I got to call everything. And I'm still new. So it was a little dicey at first, but.
Yeah, and that's, like, another interesting thing is, like, you know, I mean, I don't mean to kill the magic, but it's obviously a show, and, you know, sometimes people plan things out and sometimes they don't. What do you find more, like, because you have a struggle with memory, do you find it easier to just go to the ring and, like, call it while you're out there on the fly, or do you like to have, like, a specific roadmap in mind for when you hit the ring?
It's gotten better remembering things now. Just because of the fact I've gotten so calm and so used to sort of where I need to be and how I do it. I prefer an equal balance of both.
Okay.
So call a couple of spots. We'll put them in somewhere. We'll call a little bit and then call the rest as we need it. Because there are sometimes you go out there, you think this is what they want, but then they react to something different. And okay, well then we'll do this.
Have you had the opportunity to be like the person that's like sort of like leading the dance, as to say?
Yes.
And how do you find it? Do you find it more nerve-wracking to be the person like following along or to be the person that's sort of leading the dance?
I'm good with either, but if I'm going to lead it, I got to lead it.
Fair enough.
So.
Solid. Well, it's.
Or at least give me an alternative if you don't want to do something.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like,
because one of the things that drives me crazy is when someone just goes, no, and then doesn't offer an alternative.
And are you talking about when you're, like, I mean, in the ring with the person, like, in the moment?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, like, I mean, that can make it awkward, for sure. I mean,
or not just that, but even beforehand, I mean, like, I used to do improv. Like when I was in high school.
Oh, I didn't know that.
One of the things they used to say was, is don't say no.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I also used to do improv in high school and like, I had like I was like in shows and stuff for a long time. And we went to like improv school almost. And yeah, you don't say no. That's just, you're completely blocking the idea and it's not
well,
a
when
productive
you say
way.
No,
yeah.
You limit options. I mean, there's ways of saying no. I mean, but I mean, unless there's something you really don't want to do, I mean, fine, but then give me an alternative.
Yeah. I like the only way I can see myself being like, no, if I was in the ring was if whatever you proposed to me, like just, I felt unsafe doing, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, that part of that is also because like, I'm very like new and green, so I don't really feel like I should be the one out there dictating what we're doing or not doing. You know, the only case would be like if I was worried that I would be, physically unable to safely execute, then I would, not want to do that because I don't want to hurt anyone.
Well, I mean, I can see like when you have to, I mean, there are times you do have to say no. I mean, like if you're, if you call something and the person's injured and no, I can't go up for that or I can't do this, fine. But then,
yeah,
offer an alternative.
Yeah, 100, try and see where the story is going and, yeah, and put in a different piece of the puzzle that will still lead you in the same direction type thing. I hear you. Anyway.
Vader put it best when he was talking about in a podcast or in an interview a number of years ago. If you're going from A to F, you don't necessarily have to go A, B, C, D, E, F. Sometimes you have to go, you can go A, C, B, E, D, you know.
Yeah, and vary it up a bit, for sure. So who are some of the best local guys that you've had the opportunity to work with? Like, what would you consider, like, your top three matches of your career?
Ooh. I've had some really good ones with Danny Duggan. I've had some really good ones with Tyler Colton. In PCW, I had a long feud with Jay Walker that resulted in a casket match.
Oh, wow. Did you win?
I did.
Oh, nice. A casket match. Did you do like Undertaker like spots or anything?
We did a couple of them. It was interesting. Yeah, it was a good little feud that we had. And, yeah, that's about,
and I mean,
I've also had some really good ones with Adam Knight.
Okay. I'm not as familiar with him. I do know who, like Danny and AJ are.
Yeah.
Obviously. And those guys have been around for like a very long time and like, they've been killing it for a long time. Danny, yeah, he's done like WWE like tryouts and stuff. Have you ever partaken in any of those like tryouts or dark matches or, you know,
Is that something
you'd be interested in doing?
I am. I've thought about it. It just has never gone pen to paper. So
that's fair. How about working with like TNA? Because like they're more local to that part of the country and whatnot. With them being, you know, they're closer to Manitoba than Alberta is for sure. Have you like how? I don't even know how it works. Do you send in a resume or do they send scouts off to the other shows? Like,
I think what you do is they have a profile that you can create on some, like I know with some of them, you create a profile and then you send in footage from your matches and say, you know, I'm so-and-so, then they review it. And if they, from what I understand, I mean, I'm not an expert on this. And then they'll let you know if they want you to come for a tryout or not, or if they're having an open tryout, you can do your thing. I originally never thought, I didn't know how far I would go with wrestling because I didn't join wrestling until I was in my 30s.
Okay.
So I always thought this was just going to be like a local thing. I had no idea I would end up going out and basically touring the country.
It's got to feel pretty cool though, eh?
It does. I mean, to me, it's I am happy with the way my wrestling is going. Now, that's not saying I don't want it to go further. What that further is though, I'm not sure. So that's why I've been really trying to lose some of my weight. I've been hitting the gym regularly. There are some things I'd like to do, though, from my experience, like from the people I've met. I wouldn't mind seeing if I can go down to Mexico. A lot of the people I've met from Europe have said that, you should try and come out here and wrestle here for a little bit. So
it's like, no offense, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just saying that, like, who wouldn't want to go and wrestle in Mexico or Europe or Japan? Like, it would be an adventure, you know?
Well, I know some people that are more comfortable just being at home, at their doing one show per month. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to be. If you only want to do blank, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then when you're done wrestling, I don't ever want to hear these people say, I never had the opportunities that so-and-so had, because I'm going to call them out on it and say, yes, you did. You didn't put in the effort.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
So, for example, if I want to continue to work some of these top guys that come in, I have to show that I belong to work with them, which is why I'm trying to lose the weight and get into a better shape.
Yeah. And how often do you train with AJ and those guys in Manitoba?
I haven't been able to go that much lately because of issues with work and that, but
okay.
But I'm getting back into it, so.
Right on. It's fair. You did come in, like I say, I saw you at the Top Talent Wrestling Academy there.
Yep.
Have you had the opportunity to get out to any other, like, wrestling schools and train under anyone else that's notable?
Not really.
Okay, fair enough. What would you find the differences between the training that you normally do in Winnipeg and what you do in Edmonton, or was it just pretty similar?
Well, each facility has their own different techniques. So I did some drills there that we don't normally do here, but now that we are, so yeah. It's hard to describe because each person has their own experience in the business. So you have some people that go, yeah, this is what I experienced when I was here, so this is why we're doing it this way. Some people go, no, you don't need to know the why, just the how, so.
And fair enough. So I've asked you about, like, some of the name guys you wrestled and some of the more local guys that you have wrestled. Is there, can you give me, like, three names of guys that you have yet to wrestle locally or, like, in Alberta, even better, because most of the listeners are probably in Alberta. But give me three Winnipeg guys and three Alberta guys that you'd really like to wrestle.
Three. Okay, I'll start with Alberta. Kind of want to have a match with Heavy Metal.
Yeah, that would be good.
Him and Big Jess.
Oh, yeah. Big Jess is awesome. I haven't seen him lately, but I hope he's doing well.
Just because I want to, I think that would be, we could have a really good match.
Have you not wrestled Big Jess before?
Nope.
Oh, I can see that. Like, even being an awesome, like, one-on-one match, just two big hoss guys going at it, you know?
I'd like to have my singles match with Jude Dawkins.
Oh, okay.
We were supposed to have a single. I've been in a couple tags with him. We were supposed to have a singles match that got canceled. But I'd really like to have a match with him.
Yeah, he's very good. I like his gimmick and stuff. And I watch his promo videos sometimes, and he's really entertaining, for sure. I think I was in a battle royal with him once.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Solid. And who are three Winnipeg guys that you'd like to be in the ring with?
It's kind of tough because I've faced a lot of them. One guy who doesn't wrestle as much anymore would be Will Damon. Playboy Will Damon.
Okay.
Mentolo.
Oh, Mentolo's fantastic.
And I don't know who for the third.
Okay, well, that's fair. I mean, you've said many times you're willing to wrestle pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
So that's good. Like, do you find that it's more jarring to you to wrestle like when you have to wrestle someone for the first time, as opposed to like you've been in the ring with them many times before? Like, you kind of learn like a chemistry with the person, you know. Do you find that it can be jarring to have like, say a bunch of matches with guys that you've been in the ring with a bunch of times to have to work somebody you've never wrestled before?
No, I like working. I'll work anyone. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's been first time or the 30th time. I mean, just the thing is when you've worked someone before, though, you sort of know what their habits are. So, and what they like and what they don't like, and, whether or not you need to watch out for certain things. So.
Alrighty. Right on, bud. Do you want to plug your social media and stuff?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kevin O'Doyle Rules.
I remember when you came out for the tour, I think it was last year. And you were just posting pictures of yourself, like saying O'Doyle Rules in front of various cities and landmarks.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
It's also, my Twitter is at Kevin O'Doyle 1.
Okay.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Kevin O'Doyle Rules.
Right on. Which platform do you prefer, Instagram or Twitter?
I use both.
Okay, and you don't have like a fan page on Facebook or anything?
I do have a fan page on Facebook.
Okay, so you can just look that up for Kevin O'Doyle as well?
Yep.
Solid, buddy. Well, I hope that we get to see you again. Have you talked to Squig? Do you know if you're coming in again in the future?
Nothing's confirmed, but I'm hoping to actually come out more often. Because I really do enjoy being on the road. I really do enjoy going to other cities, and it's a lot of fun. So,
right on. Well, I hope it happens sooner or later. And then I do know that CWE has some planned shows in October or around these parts as well, if I'm not mistaken.
CWE has its now COVID pending, but the CWE does have its Extreme Consequences tour coming up. It's from October 12th all the way into November. So,
and you're supposed to be taking part in that, right?
I'm doing the vast majority of it. I think I have to stop in Calgary for a little bit, but
are you aware of any of the potential matchups or anything? Is anything signed yet?
Nothing is signed yet because they're still waiting to see how this pandemic is going to play out. But if you are want to follow up on it and make sure that I don't have the dates in front of me, you can go to the CWE Facebook page.
Awesome. And I'm sure tickets and whatnot can be purchased there as well, eh?
I believe they have tickets will in most venues will be available in advance. You can also get them at the door. And for some of the towns, there are after parties. So,
oh yeah, right. The CWE tours. I think they're famous for their like after parties.
We have after parties, and we have a VIP early section where you can come in, meet everyone, get autographs, photos, get good seats.
Right on. And one of the things, though, like you've been around CWE for a while now. Sorry, I thought we were going to end it there, but I have one more question. And you've probably been watching how it runs and how Danny does it. Have you ever had any interest in running your own promotion?
No. To run your own promotion, I honestly think you have to be even crazier than... You have to be a special kind of crazy to be willing to wrestle. You have to be even crazier to run a promotion. Because at a whim's notice, you're dealing with a fire.
Yeah.
And... like, you know, all of a sudden, the trucks broke down. Hey, so-and-so can't make it. The venue's got an issue. The ring's got an issue.
Yeah, a global pandemic has occurred.
There's a global pandemic. We can't find the tickets. We can't find this person. So says they're not coming. I mean, it just... So, it's a lot of work. It also depends on what type of promotion you want to have. I mean, with CWE's case, it's the most run... We do the most shows... than most other traveling companies. I mean, I think the next one is WWE. So, you know, it requires a lot of work to just not only have a show, but organize how we get into the town. Where are we staying? What is this venue like? What are the restrictions at the venue? Restrictions, even if there isn't a worldwide pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
That's fair. I mean, like, you got to have all your ducks in a row, and it's pretty much what you have to actually do is be prepared, because none of your ducks are going to be in a row all the time. So,
well, not only that, but you have to make sure that, you know, you have people in that town that can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, it's not just enough to have someone in the town. You have to have someone in the town that can go boots on the ground.
Yeah, it should. Because, it's a team effort.
Well, like, take like Red Deer.
Okay.
If I want to have a show in Red Deer, that's fine and dandy. But I have to have someone that can go and get the tickets from the venue or give the tickets to the venue to sell. I have to have someone to go and put up posters. I have to have someone there to say, this is the product that's coming to town. This is why you want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That makes sense.
And unfortunately, when you have towns where it doesn't get promoted properly, posters don't go up, who does that hurt? Well, it hurts everyone. So yeah, it's a lot of work. The behind the scenes of putting on the show is far more dramatic than the actual show itself at sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. You got to give it up to like all the promoters. Like, it's a stressful job. And if the show goes off and is a good show for sure, then, you know, a lot of that has to go to the person who's overseeing it.
Well, I was at a show last year where it was for PCW. The headliner, who was brought in from Ring of Honor, his flight kept getting delayed because of the weather.
Oh, no.
So they got bounced around from one airport to the other one, where they ended up running really late because the guy got there, said he was going to be there by a certain time, and the promoter's on his phone the whole time tracking his flight. So it was a case of, okay, well, I know we had this many matches, but you two go put a match on yourselves. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been, oh, well, look at what happened with the CW one when they went to Grand Prairie a couple of times. There was one time the truck broke down and they showed up. Everyone was in gear. They were entertaining everyone with, you know, playing with the kids and that, and then had to put the ring up in their gear. So,
oh, wow. That's, yeah, that, like, as the fans are in the building.
As the fans are in the building. That happened in Thunder Bay as well, so.
But hey, man, the show went down, so hopefully those fans remember it, right? Like,
well, the thing is everyone that's been on those shows have been professionals. I mean, and that's the big thing about being a professional is you. There are times you have to step up and do things that you wouldn't normally do. And so, if you make that show, that show was going to be memorable for everyone.
Yeah.
Because though now the audience, when they went there, left, they didn't leave going, oh, you know, the show was late. They left going, hey, you know, they had some issues, but oh, man, they came out, they entertained the kids, they did this. You know what? I want to go to that show the next time. I want to recommend that show.
That's an excellent point. And I do. I recommend all the CWE shows that come through Alberta here or over in Manitoba. Kevin has been out to RCW, and so if he gets out here again, I also recommend you come check him out, because he's a big hoss guy out there, and it's impressive to watch. So, Kevin, thank you very much for doing the podcast today.
No problem.
And I will talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Yes, you will.
Alrighty, bud. Nova Scotia and New Brunswick.